Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today, at the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, we are reading from the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavat Puran, chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. And the text of verse 6 is on the blackboard.
Yatra sangita sanada nadad guyam amarshaya abhigarjanti harayaha slakhina parashankaya.
Yatra, in that mountain, Trikuta,
sangita,
of singing.
Sannadai,
with the vibrations.
Nadat,
resounding.
Guyam,
the caves.
Amarshaya,
because of
unbearable anger
or envy.
Abhigarjanti,
roar.
Harayaha,
the lions.
Shlakhina,
being very proud
of their strength.
Parashankaya,
because of
suspecting other lions.
Translation.
Because of the resounding vibrations of the denizens of heaven singing in the caves, the lions there, being very proud of their strength, roar with unbearable envy, thinking that another lion is roaring in that way. Responsively, because of the resounding vibrations of the denizens of heaven singing in the caves, the lions there, being very proud
of their strength,
roar with unbearable envy, thinking that another lion is roaring in that way. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the higher planetary systems, there are not only different types of human beings, but also animals like lions and elephants. There are trees, and the land is made of emeralds. Such is the creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung in this regard, Keshava Tuya Jagat Vichitra. My Lord Keshava, your creation is colorful and full of varieties. Geologists, botanists, and other so-called scientists speculate about the planetary systems, but being unable to estimate the varieties on other planets, they falsely imagine that all planets but this one are vacant, uninhabited, and full of dust. Although they cannot even estimate the varieties existing throughout the universe, they are very proud of their knowledge. And they are accepted as learned by persons of a similar caliber. as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Skanda 2, Chapter 3, Verse 19. Savit Varaha Sostra Karmai Samstutaha Purushaha Pashu. Materialistic leaders are praised by dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, and they themselves are also big animals. One should not be satisfied with the knowledge imparted by a big animal. Rather, one must take knowledge from a perfect person like Sukadev Goswami. Mahajano Yenagata Sapantaha. Our duty is to follow the instructions of the Mahajans. There are 12 Mahajans, and Sukadev Goswami is one of them. Swayambhur Naradaha Shambhu Kumaram Kupila, Manu, Prahlado, Janaka, Bhishmo, Balair, Vaisakher, Bayam. That's from the Bhagavatam. Canto 6, Chapter 3, Verse 21. 20. Vyasiki is Sukadev Goswami. Whatever he says, we consider to be factual. That is perfect knowledge. Included today was verse 5, which has a very short purport. So I was asked to speak today on two verses. Text 5 is Siddhacharana Gandharvar Vidyahara Mahoragai Kenaira Apsabhotis Cha Kudabir Justa Kandaraha. That translation is, the inhabitants of the higher planets, the Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas, Vidyaharas, Serpents, Kinaras, and Apsaras, go to that mountain to sport. Thus all the caves of the mountain are full of these denizens of the heavenly planets. The purport is, as ordinary men may play in the salty ocean, the inhabitants of the higher planetary systems go to the ocean of milk. They float in the ocean of milk and also enjoy various sports within the caves of Trikuta Mountain. Today's translation is, because of the resounding vibrations of the denizens of heaven singing in the caves, the lions there, being very proud of their strength, roar with unbearable envy, thinking that another lion is roaring in that way. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pustaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Paskata Desatarne Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, Sri Basadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. At the end of the previous chapter, chapter 1, in the 8th skanda, Sukadev Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit, in the 4th Manvantar, the period of Manus, in the 4th Manvantar, Hari, Vishnu, will take birth from Harini and Hari Maida, and he will save, he will deliver the elephant Jagendra from the mouth of a crocodile. In the last chapter, 8:1, in verse 31, Sukadev Goswami having heard 7 full cantos of the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, is still very, very eager to hear the pastimes of the Lord. In verse 31, he said, "We wish to hear in detail how the elephant king was delivered from the mouth of the crocodile." He says, "we," because he's sitting with an assembly of sages, all of whom are listening to Sukadev Goswami narrate these wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just by hearing which can deliver us from the anxiety, from the turmoil of material life. Now, in this chapter, chapter 2 of the 8th canto, for the first 20 verses, that detail is described. The detail of the setting, of the scene, of the environment in which this fight between Jagendra the elephant and the crocodile took place. This is described here. In verse 1, it described that there is a mountain called Trikuta. This mountain is 10,000 yojans high. In various parts of the Puranas, the length of a yojan is described. In some places it says one yojan is 12 kilometers. In other places it says it's 15 kilometers. So 10,000 yojans is either 120,000 kilometers or 150,000 kilometers. Srila Prabhupada translates the height of the mountain as 80,000 miles, which is 130,000 kilometers. In between these two opinions about whether it's 120 or 150, Srila Prabhupada says 130 is 80,000 miles. If we try to get some comparison of how tall this mountain is, on our planet, this planet Earth, the highest mountain is Mount Everest. It is called in Sanskrit Sagarmatha, which is the peak of heaven. And the mountain, Mount Everest, as we measure it today, is 8,800 meters. It's almost 9 kilometers. It's 5.5 miles. So Mount Everest is 5.5 miles. We have this mountain, which is Trikuta, which is 80,000 miles high. So this is enormous. The planet Earth that we're on has a circumference of 23,000 kilometers, so pi d, 2 pi r. The diameter is 12,000. So if we get almost 7 Earth planets stacked one on top of the other, this is the height of this mountain. So how are we to understand this? From our situation here, from our present level of consciousness, from the influence of the education systems which we have been subjected to, how are we to understand this mountain is 130 kilometers high? In the Amarkos, which is a Sanskrit lexicon, it's a dictionary of terms, in the Amarkos, Purana is described. What is a Purana? It describes the definition of what is a Purana. The definition says, sargas cha, priti sargas cha. Cha is also. Vamso manvantarini cha. Vamsu charitampi. And it says, these are the five lakshanas, the five qualifications of a purana. Puranam panchalakshanam. It says that a purana, for a scripture to be considered a purana, it has to have five attributes or five lakshana, five subject matters must be there for it to be qualify as a purana. There must be sarga. We say sarga is cosmogony. It's the creation where the elements were created from, the creation of the universe. It must have priti sarga, which is cosmology, which is the secondary creation, how the universe is created, how it's structured. It must have vamsa, which is the history of the sages, history of the rulers. It must have manvantar, the cycles, the eras of the Manu. Sukadeva Goswami has explained this particular leela with Hari, saving Gajendra, is in the fourth manvantar. There is 14 manvantars in a day of Brahma. And it must have vamsa nucharita, the genealogy of the saintly kings. These five are essential for a purana to be classified as a purana. We know that the Srimad Bhagavatam, from which we're reading, has 10 subject matters. It has these five essential and it has five other, culminating in ashraya. An ashraya is the shelter. It's the shelter of the Lord is ashraya. And the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the purpose of the Bhagavat Puran, is that we can take shelter of the Lord by the means of devotional service. By loving devotion to the Lord, His shelter is invoked. This is the entire purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is not a treatise on cosmology, on cosmogony, of the structure and the nature of the universe. This is touched upon classification as a purana is essential, because who we hear from determines how much weight we can put to this. If some guest comes and offers us some philosophical insight, we don't take it very seriously. What authority does this person have? If we have a young devotee who's studying, who's reading something, he may explain what his realization is. In fact, we encourage even our youngest, newest devotees to give a class, to explain, to put their realizations into words. But it's not a very profound realization, perhaps. He hasn't thought it through. It has some value, but not so much. As, for example, some sannyasi is giving a discourse, he's teaching at the VIHE, and he explains a point. Vishnabhat Chakravarti describes it like this, Baladev Vidyabhasan. These are great predecessor acharyas who gave instructions on specific points. So when he quotes this, it has much more weight. Similarly, in the Vedic literature, where we get our information from determines how strong, how solid this information is. The most solid information comes from the Vedanta Sutra, from the Brahma Sutras. The Brahma Sutras were composed taking the essence of the Upanishads. This is considered the highest authority. The next highest authority is the Upanishads. If something is taken from the Upanishads, it's very, very weighty. Next is taken from the Puranas. And finally, the source reference with not so much weight as the others, the Vedanta Sutra, the Upanishads, the Puranas, is the Itihasas. These are the histories. These are the Ramayana, the Mahabharata. So, to give mankind, to give the importance of the shelter of the Lord, of Ashraya, to mankind, Vasudeva structured these instructions of the pastimes of Krishna as a Purana by including these five essential subject matters which must be there for a Purana to be classified as a Purana. Otherwise, the stories can just be folklore. As we go around Vrindavan, we meet different pandas, different people, and they will tell us, this is where Agastya Muni did penance, this is where Krishna did, this is that. There is no reference to this. Now, we do have references for Krishna's various pastimes. The Goswamis and so on have indicated certain pastimes took place, but there are many, many, many more pastimes adrift in Braj about Krishna did this, it did that. It has no Shastric reference. It's folklore. Many people choose not to take these stories very seriously because they're not coming from an authorized source. So, Bhagavatam is intended to be very authorized, Srimad Bhagavatam. It consists of 18,000 verses. But 33% of these verses are in the 10th skanda. They're entirely about the pastimes of Krishna. This is a small Purana. If we take one third of it for about Krishna, it doesn't leave much else to deal with the five topics. For example, the Padma Purana is 56,000 verses. It's three times as big as the Bhagavatam. The Skanda Purana is 80,000 verses. It's five times the volume, five times the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are not many Puranas which are smaller than the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can understand that these subject matter are not dealt with in any great depth. Because they're not dealt with in very great depth, this has given rise to a wide opinion on these different subjects. For example, the structure of the universe. So the designers in our Mayapur project had to deal with a lot of devotees who had differing opinions about actually how the universe is structured to portray this in a three-dimensional form as an exhibit, as a central exhibit in the planetarium. There's always been a difficulty with understanding the nature of the universe from the fifth canto. This is the only place where the Sharga Vishar, where it's described, is summarily in the fifth canto. When the fifth canto was published, about 1975, very soon after, the devotees brought it to Srila Prabhupada's attention that this was causing difficult for Western educated devotees to take at face value what was the descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam. I was in Srila Prabhupada's room, here in his house, when some devotees brought this up. Say, Srila Prabhupada, it's very difficult for Western educated people to accept and to understand these descriptions in the fifth canto. Srila Prabhupada said, there is not complete information in fifth canto. It's not complete information. Knowing well, it's just a summary of the information. He said, to get complete information, the Surya Siddhanta must be studied, as well as reference taken from the Bhavishya Purana. And he set up a committee comprising Tamal Krishna Maharaj, an Indian sannyasi called Bhakta Prem Swami, and Yasodananda, who was sannyasi. He said, you should sit together, make a a committee and get further information, make a full description. So, for a person reading Srimad Bhagavatam, reading about Trikuta, this mountain, 80,000 miles, 130,000 kilometers high, people are present from our present background, they have difficulty to understand this. Another difficulty is, another consideration is, that in the Vedic literatures, many figures of speech are used. For example, we can say a man is a man, and how much respect do we give the person? He's a man. He's a man. If we say the man is like a lion, this like a lion is a figure of speech, it's a simile. You take two unrelated things, a man and a lion. Of course we have Lord Narasimha, but we have a man and a lion, they're unrelated, but we say the man is the lion. So this gives us an idea that he has prowess, he has strength, he's fearless, he's a fighter. Man is like a lion. If we use a metaphor, we say the man is a lion. Then this gives even greater understanding. He's a lion, this man. Be careful. He's a real lion. We have even greater understanding of his prowess. If we have used the figure of speech, hyperbole, which is a vast exaggeration, intended to be exaggerated to give poetic understanding, we say the man is a troop of lions, he's a pride of lions, he's all the lions in the whole jungle put together. Now this is an exaggeration. He's still a man, not like a lion, maybe like a lion, maybe is a lion, but to say that he's a troop of lions, this is hyperbole. This is a very deliberate exaggeration to drive the point home. It's all over the Shastras, all over India. I visited a place called Koti Tirtha. And the pandas there, they explained to me that if you bathe in this kund, this is the equivalent to bathing in 10,000, going to 10,000 tirthas and taking a bath there. Just by bathing in this one place, you get the benefit from 10,000 places. Now obviously, the pandas at a particular place, they make their living from pilgrims coming and doing pujas and giving blessings and so on. Every place in Braj, every little temple, they swear, this is where Krishna had his lunch, this is this, put some money in the hundi. They're marketing their place because this is how they make a living, from people coming and giving special respects to that particular place. So this figure of speech is used, it's called hyperbole. It's a very, very vast exaggeration. So in Mahabharata, it describes that a warrior who is named Arati, we're going to describe the prowess of the Maharatis. So an ordinary Rati, he is described as being able to fight 1,000 men all at the same time. He can get out his sword and his bows and he can fight 1,000 men, defeat 1,000 men. If he's an Ekarati, he has the equivalent of 6 ratis. So he can fight 6 times as many. And an Atirati, he can fight 9 Ekaratis who can fight 6 ratis who can fight 1,000 people. And a Maharati, it says he can fight 12 Atiratas. They said the problem is that in the Mahabharata there weren't 12 Maharatis. Very, very rare, very, very top grade. there were not 12 Maharatis. But nevertheless, if there were a Maharati, he can fight. He can fight 12 of the Atiratis. He can. So, if we do the math on this, it's 1,000 times 6 times 9 times 12. So that's one man can fight 650,000 other men all at once. So this is an example of hyperbole. We're emphasizing what a wonderful warrior he was, but the math doesn't work out. How can he fight? So they would just crush him, sit on him, crush him. 650,000 people. If we go to a football stadium, I think the biggest stadium for football in England, I think it's something like 60,000 people can attend the stadium. The Nehru Stadium in Delhi, it's got a similar capacity, 40, 50, 60,000. So we have a dozen stadiums like that. All the people, all warriors, they're all trained. They all come out and they fight this one guy. But at the end of the day, or 2 days, or 6 months, however long it takes, everyone's going to, he's just going to be wiping the blood and wiping the sweat of his brow, wiping the blood, and he's... So this is hyperbole. So, it's for poetic embellishment or effect. So, when we consider these descriptions in the Bhagavatam, there are these two considerations. One is that the whole description of the universe has only been slightly touched upon because the purpose was to describe the Leela of Krishna, which is done very, very nicely in the 10th canto. The other consideration is that throughout the Vedic scriptures, there's various figures of speech used for poetic embellishment to try to drive home the point, to emphasize a particular point. There was a discussion recently in ISKCON, and the conclusion was that neither in Prabhupada's, not in Prabhupada's teachings, not in Hari Bhakti Vilas, not in any of the teachings of the previous acharyas, has it described that if you fast on Nirjala Ekadasi, this makes up for all the other Ekadasis that you've missed. It is a nice sentiment, and it encourages people to fast on Nirjala Ekadasi, but they say we can find no reference in any of the Vaishnav teachings that this nullifies any fault for missing or deliberately missing any of the other Ekadasis. So they say, it has a benefit, an Ekadasi benefit, whereas this idea that if you do this, you get the super benefit that you can't imagine, this is an example of exaggeration for dramatic effect to emphasize the particular point. As we go on to verse 1 here, in this opening of the chapter, it describes Trikuta. It describes it has three peaks of iron and gold and silver. Now, even here on our planet, we do find concentrated reserves and deposits of minerals. There is an island in the Mediterranean near Greece called Cyprus. They called it Cyprus because the Greeks called it Kupros, because the entire island is made of copper ore. And they've been taking copper from this island for 6,000 years. There's vast deposits. Last year, $110 million worth of copper was taken out of it. And this has been going on for 6,000 years. The whole island's copper. It goes into the ground. It goes below sea level. It's a whole deposit of copper. So we do see this. The Romans, when they had their empire, they had the whole of Europe, Turkey, the whole of North Africa. They mined the copper there. They wanted to use the copper for armaments, because bronze is the strongest metal. It's the strongest, hardest, sharpest metal. And all of their kit, their military kit, was in bronze. So by having this, by having their armor in bronze, by having their shields in bronze, by having their swords in bronze, they had a military superiority over other people, which is why they had their empire, established their empire, and they had it for 500 years. When they discovered that tin, which is essential, is 12 to 15% tin mixed with 85% copper, will give you bronze. It's an alloy called bronze, that is the mixture. When they discovered that tin was coming from England in a place called Cornwall, they've been mining there now for 4,000 years, mining tin. They invaded England, they took over, they occupied England for 200 years to get the tin, to make the copper, to have the military superiority. In Bolivia, there is a place called Potosi, and the Spaniards, going to the New World, they discovered silver there, vast, vast amounts of silver in this mountain. And they had been mining this. It's estimated that the Spanish took out of Potosi, out of Bolivia, 150,000 tons of silver. The Spanish currency, pieces of eight, the pirates called them, the Spanish currency was the currency all over the world. The Chinese bought this currency, they bought the thing at a high price, they traded it for silks. The entire Chinese currency was based on silver. It was the dollar. The dollar is the international currency. At the time, it was silver from Bolivia that the Spanish Armada took, and this was this huge mountain of silver. So we do get vast amounts, vast deposits, even on this planet. So here it's described the three peaks of this mountain were iron, there were silver, and there were gold, and this is entirely feasible. It says that in this mountain, in this valley of the mountain, Kuvera, he established a garden there. He is one of the chief demigods, he's in charge of the waters. He gave Arjun his bow, his quiver of arrows, he gave him his rope. He in so many places, in the Bhagavatam, in the other Puranas, Kuvera takes a part. He's a very, very prominent demigod. Very, very prominent. It is described he's chief amongst the demigods. In Bhagavad Gita said of aquatics, I am Kuvera. Very, very... So he, just like we have here in Vrindavan, the rich people, they buy a nice piece of land in a nice place and they have their house. So of all the different places that were possible to go to, Kuvera chose this as his relaxation area. And because of this, many of the other demigods would go there. The Siddhas would go there. The Siddhas have mystical powers. They're demigods with mystical powers. Prabhupada says in Srimad Bhagavatam and the purport that they're invisible to our eyes. He said a very, very sensitive person can perceive their presence, but you can't see them. They're mystics, mystical people. They live in, it says in Mahabharata, the Vani Parva, chapter 230, verse 39, it says that they live in they're the retinue, they live in the palace of Yamaraj. The Gandharvas were there. Kasyapa and his wife, Arista, they were the parents of the Gandharvas. When we have Brahma, he creates a Manu, creates a man, he creates 14. One of the Manus, he peoples the entire universe. He's the father of mankind, but he's also, the various Prajapatis are also, there's 23 Prajapatis, they create everything. The Devas, the Rakshasas, the animals, everything, the plant, everything they create. They create absolutely everything. They're big time creators. Prabhupada explains that Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, these are not people's names. These are posts, just like we have the president here. I think a few years ago there was a meeting and they counted up. I think here we've had 23 presidents so far. We've had 23 separate different presidents. presidents of the Krishna Balaram temple, and no one expects that any one president or pujari or Mukunda Datta, he's amazing. He's been pujari for so many years here, 30 years I heard. But there is a beginning and there is an end to anyone's service. Similarly, the services of Brahma, of Indra, of Shiva, these are posts, they're not persons. So all of these men, deva, animals, they're all created. Kasyapa and his wife Tamra, they created owls and eagles and swans. They were also the parents to Garuda. Kasyapa with his another wife, Prodiyata, lions and monkeys and cows and horse and the Nagas. The Nagas, they are celestial entities. They're snakes, serpents, but they can take the form of a human being. And there's many in the Bhagavatam, many famous Nagas. There's Kaliya, there's Vasuki, he's the snake that Shiva wears. There's the snake bird in that bit Maharaj Parikrama. There's so many Nagas are there. So these are also created. It's mentioned here that some of the devas who would go, they were the Chanaras. They, as well as the Vidyaharas, they are very, very expert at singing. Very, very expert. And the Chanaras are differentiated by the Vidyaharas because they wear most beautiful garlands of flowers that we've never seen, with perfumes that we cannot imagine. Most of the flowers now in Kali Yuga, they have no perfume. No perfume at all. There's a few rare flowers that have some perfume. So these just amazing perfumes that the Kanaras, they are Veena players. They play Veenas to accompany the music. The Apsaras, they're celestial damsels. They do very, very nice dances. The serpents, they can assume human form. In India, especially in South India, these devas, these nagas, they are worshipped. There's many, many, many naga temples. Lord Shiva's son, Murugan, also known as Kartikeya, also known as Skanda, he's called Subramanya in South India. And there is a Subramanya temple because he's considered to be the Lord of all the snakes. So there's a Kuke Subramanya. This is a temple near Mangalore. It's 2 hours drive from Mangalore. There's a big temple of the snake temple. So all of these amazing, wonderful devas would gather together with this wonderful music and beautiful perfumes, and they would go in Varuna's garden. This is the setting, this is the scene in which the Leela of Hari saving Jagendra took place. In today's verse, Prabhupada says, it describes this beautiful, amazing setting. Srila Prabhupada said, geologists, botanists, and other so-called scientists, they speculate about other planetary systems, but being able to estimate the varieties on other planets, they falsely imagine that all the planets except this one are vacant, uninhabited, nothing but dust. I was saying the other day that our Milky Way is considered a galaxy. There is a color spectrum that we can see, colors of the rainbow: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. We can't see beyond violet. We can't see below red. The vibrations are there, The particles or the waves are there, but we can't see them with our eyes. When you measure these other particles, we can understand that we can only see 5% of what is in the universe. 5%. 95% we can't see. So the Milky Way, which is absolutely splendid, in a place like Mayapur in the winter, where there's very little atmospheric dust or pollution, in farmland, you can see the Milky Way. Today, taking different measurements from different parts of the universe, cosmologists today estimate that there are 1 billion galaxies. And each of these galaxies have up to 2 billion stars per galaxy. And as we know, there's various planets in this. It's huge. It's like absolutely beyond our comprehension. Which is why we take the authority of the Vedas. One time here in a morning walk, one sannyasi, very wonderful preacher, incredible devotee, amazing in so many ways. He came to Vrindavan. He joined the morning walk. He's usually out in the field preaching. Srila Prabhupada acknowledged him and just looked at him, invited him. Why have you come? Why are you here? Why are you not out preaching? The sannyasi said, Srila Prabhupada, out of his bag, he pulled out National Geographic magazine. It had pull-out sections, 6 or 8 sections. He said, Srila Prabhupada, he said, the material scientists are saying that their next big project is to ravel and identify the different chromosomes within the DNA that makes up our life, makes up our bodies. Prabhupada said, yes. He said, Prabhupada, they say they will even be able to identify the chromosome which induces people to have a spiritual experience. He said, Prabhupada, what do we say to these people? And Prabhupada was chanting, he's in Vrindavan, just building his temple. It was 1975, temple wasn't open. But we're walking with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada just, he said to him, what does it matter what the scientists say? What does it matter what they say? What can they understand of Krishna's creation with their pea-sized brain? So it's not possible to even understand the numbers that's involved by these billions. They say, if we count to a million, it will take us 11 and a half days to count non-stop, count to a million. If you count to a billion, it takes 35 years. It's a huge, huge number. Huge number. So we have these billions times billions, hundreds of billions times hundreds of billions. That's how big this is. So Prabhupada, he just dismisses these so-called scientists. What do they know? They're speculating. They think they're so clever, and they've got other people giving each other PhDs and telling them how clever they all are, and they think they know everything, and they know nothing. Prabhupada just dismissed them, these rascals. They're saying, in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, he said, this is rascal. He said, they're asking you for the facility now, and they're going to pay with a post-dated check. So I will give you a check for this amount of money, because in 5 years I expect to be very, very rich. So you give me the services, you give me the everything, I will pay you. You cash in. He said, this is a post-dated check. He said, they have nothing now, they have no knowledge now, but they're saying in 5 years, in 10 years, we will be able to do this. So you give us the funding, you give us the... He said, they're rascals. So Prabhupada had absolutely no appreciation of scientists. He said, they are just simply promoting atheism. Atheism and replacing Bhagavan Sri Krishna with money, with gold. They will do anything for money. The whole of Kali Yuga is so perverse on account of people searching for money. The purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the purpose of the 10 cantos, the purpose of the 10th canto, which is considered the face of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, is ashraya, is taking shelter. Somehow or other, we have been fortunate to receive the mercy of the parampara for myself, brought to the Western countries by Srila Prabhupada, continued by so many wonderful Srila Prabhupada disciples who have taken the responsibility of sannyas, the responsibility of guru, the responsibility of teaching others, so that the teachings of the parampara can continue. And this is the, to put a check on atheism, on impersonalism, so that we can apply ourselves to the devotional processes of Bhakti Yoga, take the ashraya, the shelter of Sri Krishna by Bhakti, the process, the yoga, the linking process of love and gratitude, leave this material world where there's endless cycles of birth and death, and go back to the spiritual world and resume our eternal function in reciprocation with Rasa Raj, the Lord of Relationships, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Jai Sri Krishna.